Welcome back. In this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson, we're going to do some real breakbeat surgery. We're taking a ghost note out of an amen break, reshaping it, and putting it back into the groove so it feels intentional, musical, and deadly inside a drum and bass track. This is not just about making a tiny hit louder. It's about making that micro detail serve the whole mix. By the end, you'll know how to isolate a useful ghost note, clean it up, place it with feel, and process it so it survives in a mastering-aware DNB context. First, choose the right amen source. You want a break with solid transient definition, enough mid-range snare body, and not too much room noise. A slightly gritty amen is often better than a super clean one, especially for dark jungle or rolling DNB. It gives you character without turning into mush. Drag the loop into an audio track and warp it properly. For a full break, Complex Pro is usually a good starting point. If the loop is short and transient heavy, Beats Mode can be tighter. The main thing here is to preserve the groove while you hunt for the ghost note you want to extract. Now zoom in and listen closely. The ghost note is often a quiet snare tap, a soft shuffle hit, maybe a little kick bleed, or a brushed stroke before or after the main backbeat. Don't just pick a quiet sound because it's quiet. Pick the slice that actually changes the feel. In good break programming, the smallest hit can create the biggest movement. I recommend auditioning a few candidates before you commit. Loop one or two bars, test a handful of slices, and listen in context. A hit that feels too tiny in solo might be perfect once the bass line is running. And the opposite is also true. Something exciting by itself can become a distracting spike in the mix. Once you've found the right moment, slice it. In Ableton Live 12, the most flexible move is to right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Use a drum rack and slice by transients if the break is dense, or by a fixed grid if you already know the timing. This gives you the cleanest control over the extracted note. If you only want one hit, you can also use simpler in slice mode and grab the slice that way. But for this kind of work, drum rack is usually the better call because it lets you duplicate, tune, and process the ghost note separately without damaging the original break. Now trim it aggressively. Ghost notes should feel small and intentional. Remove unnecessary pre-noise, shorten the decay, and cut any tail that competes with the kick or snare. If the edges get clicky, use tiny clip fades. If needed, you can tighten the envelope inside simpler too. The goal is to keep the body and attack, while clearing away everything that isn't helping the groove. At this point, think about tuning. If your ghost note is snare-like, a slight pitch change of 1 to 3 semitones can help it sit better. If it's a kick ghost, a small downward shift can add weight. Just don't overdo it. You're tuning for timbre and blend, not trying to turn the slice into a melody line. Use Spectrum or your ears to check that the energy lives where you want it. Now comes the pocket. Place the ghost note against the groove with intention. In drum and bass, it might land just before the snare to create lift, between kick and snare to increase momentum, or a touch late for that laid-back jungle drag. If your main pattern has swing, this note needs to inherit that same feel. Don't lock it so rigidly to the grid that it loses the human push and pull. In the MIDI editor, use a finer grid, like 1/32nd or even 1/64th, and nudge by ear. A few milliseconds can change the whole vibe. Try an early version, an on-grid version, and a late version. You'll hear how the pocket shifts the energy without changing the actual rhythm much at all. Next, shape the velocity. Ghost notes should almost never be full velocity. A good range is somewhere around 15 to 60, with most hits living in the 20 to 40 zone. That keeps them present but subtle. You can also vary the dynamics every 2 or 4 bars so the groove feels alive instead of looped. Little changes in velocity are one of the easiest ways to make programmed drums breathe. Now let's process the note so it reads in the mix without shouting. A simple chain works well. EQ 8, then drum bus, then saturator, then maybe a light compressor or glue compressor, and utility if you need mono control. With EQ 8, you can clean up rumble, add a little body in the low mids if it's snare-like, or give it a touch of presence in the upper mids if it needs to cut through. Be careful with harsh high mid boosts. In a master DNB track, that can get ugly fast. Drum bus is great for a little punch and density. Keep the drive modest. Use boom very carefully or leave it off, and add just enough transient to sharpen the front edge if needed. Saturator can bring forward harmonics and make the hit feel more finished. Use soft clipping or a gentle analog style mode and compensate the output so you're not fooling yourself with extra loudness. If the note jumps too much, compress it lightly. Fast attack, moderate release, and just enough gain reduction to keep it under control. You want control, not flattening. And if the ghost note is mainly a supporting texture, keep it mostly mono. In heavy arrangements, mono compatibility matters a lot, especially once the track gets mastered and limited. Now layer it back into the break or your drum rack pattern. This is where the surgery becomes musical. Keep the original amen for movement, and let the extracted ghost note act like a micro accent underneath it. You can trigger it only on select bars, use it before fills, or stack it with a snare for a bigger accent. But the key is restraint. If it starts sounding like a second main snare, you've gone too far. For arrangement, this technique gets really powerful. Try keeping the ghost note out at first, then bringing it in around bars 9 to 16, or automate its volume up by a decibel or two leading into a drop. You can even resample the processed hit and create a reverse version for a pre-snare pickup. Little details like that can make a track feel alive without cluttering the core pattern. Since this is a mastering-aware technique, always check your drum bus. Ask yourself, is this ghost note adding useful groove, or is it adding peaks and harshness? On the bus, a glue compressor with only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction is often enough. Add a tiny cleanup EQ move if needed, and use saturation only if you need to round the transients before the master chain. The goal is more perceived rhythm, not more headaches for the limiter. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the ghost note too loud. Don't leave too much tail. Don't choose the wrong transient just because it's easy to isolate. Don't ignore timing feel. And don't overprocess it until it sticks out like an effect. The best ghost notes are felt more than heard. Here's a pro move. If the track is dark and heavy, try layering a clean copy, a bandpassed copy, and a slightly dirtier copy of the same slice. Blend them quietly so the ear hears one unified micro-hit. That can give you more body, more snap, and more grit without making the sound obvious. You can also use the ghost note as a response to the bass line. Place it where the bass rhythm leaves a little pocket, and suddenly that tiny drum detail becomes part of the call and response of the track. That's how small sounds start acting like arrangement tools. So let's recap. You learned how to find a useful ghost note inside an amen break, slice it cleanly in Ableton Live 12, trim and tune it, place it with groove-aware timing, process it for mix presence, and reintegrate it into a drum and bass arrangement in a way that still feels mastering-friendly. The big takeaway is this. In drum and bass, ghost notes are not leftovers. They're groove architecture. Handle them carefully, and they add tension, motion, and that unmistakable jungle pulse. For your practice, try building a four-bar loop with a main kick, main snare, and one ghost note placed just before a snare. Then duplicate it, move the note slightly late in one bar, lower the velocity in another, and process a final version with EQ, drum bus, and saturator. Resample both the clean and processed versions and compare them in context. That comparison will teach you a ton. If you want, I can also build you a matching Ableton device chain, a MIDI placement template, or a full dark DNB drum bus around this technique.